"Be sure you know your own mind, Jupe," Mr. Gradgrind cautioned her. "I'll say no more. Be sure you know your own mind."
"When Father comes back," cried the girl, bursting into tears again after a minute's silence, "how will he ever find me if I go away?"
"You may be quite at ease," said Mr. Gradgrind calmly. He worked out the whole matter like a sum. "You may be quite at ease, Jupe, on that score. In such a case, your father, I apprehend, must find out Mr.—Thleary,
that's my name, squire, not ashamed of it, known all over England, and always paid his way.
Must find out Mr. Sleary, who would then let him know where you went. I should have no power of keeping you against his wish, and he would have no difficulty at any time in finding Mr. Thomas Gradgrind of Coketown. I'm well known." "Well known," assented Mr. Sleary, rolling his loose eye. "You're one of the thought, squire, that keepeth the precious sight of money out of the house, but never mind that at present." There was another silence, and then she exclaimed, sobbing with her hands before her face,
"Oh, give me my clothes, and let me go away before I break my heart."
The women sadly bestirred themselves to get the clothes together. It was soon done, for they were not many, and to pack them in a basket which had often travelled with them. Sissy sat all the time upon the ground, still sobbing and covering her eyes. Mr. Gradgrind and his friend Bounderby stood near the door, ready to take her away. Mr. Sleary stood in the middle of the room with the male members of the company about him, exactly as he would have stood in the centre of the ring during his daughter Josephine's performance. He wanted nothing but his whip. The basket packed in silence, they brought her bonnet to her and smoothed her disordered hair and put it on. Then they pressed about her and bent over her in very natural attitudes.